Howdy. That's a good liturgical statement. Howdy. Southern liturgy. After Jesus walks on the water, and then he begins to have this conversation with a group of people, I don't know how many it was, hundreds or maybe more, who had come looking for him after the feeding of the 5,000. And he gets into this discussion with them. And so from that point forward, in John chapter 6, there are like, there are several groups of people. There's Jesus. There's this crowd that's now showing up again, having received the bread and the fish. And then there's his 12. And then there's a whole group of disciples, people who have been walking with him, not just the ones who encountered him when he fed the 5,000 or the 15 or 20,000, I mean it was, but those who've been walking with him for a while. So that's the crowd here. And early in the conversation with all these people who came to ask him, to talk to him, it says earlier in John chapter 6, let me see where I want to find it. Oops, I'm in John chapter 5. No wonder I can't find it. John chapter 6, sorry. Verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me shall not hunger. And he who receives me, believes in me, shall not thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And all that the Father has given me will come to me. And he says that all that the Father has given me will come to me. And he who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Verse 39. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me. So twice now he said, the Father gave me. And so as Jesus is talking to them and tells them that he's the bread of heaven, because they've asked him to perform another miracle, to cause them to have more bread, to have more food to eat. They want another sign. And Jesus said, well, I'm the bread of heaven, and I've come to give life to the world. And then he begins to confront them about their unbelief. Because they were said, if you'll just show us a sign so we can see, and then we'll believe. And Jesus says, you've already seen, and you didn't believe. And so in confronting them with their unbelief, he said, you know, those who the Father has given me, and then beginning in verse, beginning in verse 41, the Jews therefore were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the third time he talks about the Father drawing. Actually, the word draw here would be better translated drag. That's the grace of God. So in the section of scripture that Father Brett has just got through reading, after Jesus says the things that he says and speaks about himself being the bread of heaven and speaks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, talking about this other way he comes to us in the Eucharist, it says, and many therefore, well, let me just show you this first in verse 59. These things he said in the synagogue and he as he taught in Capernaum. Now, this conversation was going on inside a very religious atmosphere in the synagogue. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? So the interesting thing is Jesus confronts the crowd with their unbelief, but then he says some wild things about eating his flesh and drinking his blood as if he's trying to incite his own disciples, bring things to the surface as to who are really believers and who aren't. Because this group now is not the ones he was talking to earlier. These are ones who have been walking with him, his disciples. The word disciple means learner. They were under an apprenticeship, and Jesus was the one that was supposed to be revealing to them the way, this way of life. And yet they go among themselves. This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples were grumbling. Remember he just said earlier, Don't grumble among yourselves, he said. You can't come unless the Father draws you. And but conscious as his disciples were grumbling at this, he said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What I just said about eating my flesh and drinking my blood? Then he goes, what then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? You think this is a trouble thing? You think what I've just said to you is hard to believe? Are you going to have a hard time when you see me lift up off the earth and ascend into heaven one day? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. We'll talk about that more next week. But there are some of you who do not believe. Wow, these are his disciples. For Jesus knew from the beginning of them walking with him that there were those who did not believe, and also there would be one who would betray him. And he was saying repeatedly, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. It's the fourth time he makes that statement. Now here's the part I want you to see. This is, for me, the fun part. The first three times when he says the Father drew you or drug you even, you know, you can't come unless you've responded to the grace of God. Because any desire for me is because the Father has put that in you. He's worked that in you. But this last time when he says this to them, and you've heard me talk about this before, grammatically, this is a perfect tense verb Jesus uses. Like, what does that mean? That's kind of fancy stuff. That word, perfect tense, means a completed action in the past with continual present tense results. In other words, it's not just that the Father, by the Spirit, draws you to Jesus when you give your life to him and initially believe. That drawing thing, that drawing grace, continually works in your life. Always drawing you. Well, that's really cool, because that means any holy desire that you have as a Christian is because the Father is drawing you by the Spirit. He's initiated it. Even the desire to pray comes from him. The desire to obey comes from him. The desire to read your Bible, all that comes from him. The desire to not be so ornery comes from him. All those things are prompted from him. There's just that drawing grace that's always at work. But what's happening is, if you read through the chapter, what the Father's always drawing us to is to behold Jesus and to believe him. That's one, not just when you get saved, but moment by moment. Can you see me here? Can you see Jesus in this? Can you see Jesus as sufficient here? Can you see Jesus in this circumstance? Can you see Jesus and can you believe him? See, that's the whole deal. That's the Christian life. The whole process is about the Father drawing and drawing and drawing, because this life and life more abundant, this eternal life, is a result, our experiencing it is a result of our beholding Jesus and believing. Now for us as Christians, beholding the one who isn't just with us, but the one who's in us. See, the renewed mind in Romans chapter 12 is when you begin more and more to have less of a consciousness of just you and how everything in life affects you and how you see everything in light of your hurt and brokenness and all that stuff. And you begin to have a consciousness of Jesus. And everything about you is filtered through who you are in Christ. And everything that you see and everything that you face in life is filtered through who you are in Christ, who he is in you. That you, the old independent you, died, and now Christ is living through you. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, I'm a man in Christ. See, that's a Christ consciousness. That's a renewed mind. And so the Father's always teaching us to behold Jesus, the one who lives in us, and to live from that beholding and to believe him. So you see, it's irrelevant if I go into a situation and I feel inadequate, because it's got nothing to do with whether I'm adequate or not. That's the old self. A renewed mind goes, this has got nothing to do with other than the fact that you're adequate. I'm beholding you, not me. I'm beholding you in me and believing. But here's the thing I love about this scripture. Jesus said, this is how much fun it is. See, these disciples that were walking with him, said they've been walking with him, many of them didn't walk with him anymore. He then looked at the 12, he said, are you guys going too? They said, where are we going to go? Nobody else has words of eternal life. I mean, he whittled down the group. Jesus wasn't really concerned about growing a big church. You know, having this TV program or a radio program or whatever. See, so many of us think in terms of Christian people in ministry, like, well, you're successful if it's this or that or this. Jesus just wanted believers. That's what he was after. Because he wanted people to experience the wonders of participating in the life of God, that's eternal life, through him. See, as he lives through me, I participate in what he participates in, which is the life of God, in every moment, in every situation of my life. That's what Jesus is after, because that's what he came to do, to rescue us from our fallenness, from our self-consciousness that's apart from God, that self-centeredness that's so devastating and self-destructive. You with me? And then he says, here's the deal, guys. I laid out a hard one. I went after the disciples because I knew from the beginning that some of you who said you were believers weren't really ready to believe. Not the kind of things I want you to believe. And so I threw it out there, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, you think that makes you stumble? How are you going to handle me ascending from earth into heaven? Because there's a lot of stuff in store for you if you want to behold me and believe. It just gets bigger and better. You get to see amazing things. And so this wasn't necessarily Jesus as much a rebuke as it was an invitation. See, it's always that way. Jesus is saying, guys, you've not been believing from the beginning and you don't have a clue what's in store for you. You get to believe in things like bread and wine become my body and my blood. Cool stuff. You get to believe that I can set you free from anger and fear and bitterness and resentment and self-centeredness and self-pity and self-rejection. That's awesome stuff. Impatience and all that jazz. I can heal people through you. I can cast out demons through you. I can do all kinds of cool stuff. And you can see me rise from the earth and believe that too. You can believe anything. Therefore, you get to experience everything. Do you understand what he's doing? He said, I walked on water. Yeah, I fed the 5,000 or 15,000. Oh, yeah, you get to eat my flesh and drink my blood. But, oh, yeah, you're going to get to see me raised from the ground to the heavens. This is what I'm inviting you into. Isn't that what he said early on? Was it Nathaniel he was speaking to when he said, you're impressed at the fact that I saw you under a fig tree? I saw you under a tree, and I was reading your mind? He said, you're going to see the heavens opened up and angels ascending and descending. That ain't nothing. Isn't that a fun thing to think? That whatever it is you've experienced, whatever you've gotten to behold and believe, Jesus said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm inviting you to the most amazing adventure ever, where it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And all that you have to do is behold me and believe. And the Father helps you do that. He's always drawing you into that just say yes to it. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.